This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
The new beginnings.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shacklebeam.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? Time for another edition of the podcast. Are you good, Adam?
Yeah, it was kind of loud. It was a very aggressive start, but I appreciate that.
Okay, you're excited. Bring it down a little bit. I'm excited to be on the podcast.
You've had a nice little podcast, a cute podcast, and the seniors going, but you stepped up to the big leagues now.
Wow.
Cute. I love it when people describe things as cute.
This is the podcast brought to you by Charterhouse Real Estate, charterhouseiowa.com, and we are joined by, as always, by Mark Charter. What's up, Mark?
Oh, busy day today, fellas. Doing deals.
Is the market hot?
The market's hot.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's
for
good.
February? Yeah. It's crazy out there.
Well, and rates continue to stay low. I noticed, what was it, about a month or two ago, everyone kind of got scared because didn't the Feds raise the rates a little bit?
No, they're always talking about stuff, but I've been hearing about rates going up for years now.
And what is it, like 3.7, 4%?
They're hovering around 4.
Yeah.
Which is no big deal at all.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
Historically, that's low. So things are good, man. Things are good. I'm happy to be healthy. Not all of us are. So.
Yeah, we got some people that are deathly ill right now.
We're gonna break
don't,
some.
Don't say that.
Don't say what?
That's gonna make everybody think that C Dub's like on his deathbed. He's not on his deathbed.
He's in his bed.
Well, he's in his bed. I mean, he's gonna be okay.
Yeah, he'll be all right. He's turned a corner.
Just not this week, probably.
He's turned a corner.
Are you going to reveal what's wrong with Chris Williams?
Well, Williams has been sick since what really started on Friday.
Yeah,
last Friday.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So going on a week now, and I think he was fighting. He had 103 fever, which for an adult is crazy high.
So I saw him, by the way, backtracking to the TCU game. I was at the TCU game, and my son Seton loves Chris Williams, so he wanted to go up and give Chris nucks.
I never understood why he loves Chris so much.
I don't know. Chris he respects him.
He also loves Jameel McKay, so it says a little bit about Seton's taste.
So Seton goes up and gives Chris a quick nucks on the way to our seats, and I look at Chris, and my first thought was, and this was before I knew he was sick, I just happened to see him. But my first thought is someone has once again been farting on his pillow. Because I'm looking at him and I'm like, dude, the guy has pink eye again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I heard he was sick, I'm thinking, okay, the guy just has pink eye, you know, again. So he's down. But then I'm like hearing, whoa, he's out for the whole week.
Yeah. Well, you text me and said, I think Williams has pink eye. So I say to him, Charter says you have pink eye. He responds back, I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah, he definitely did. Yeah. I saw him too.
Unbelievable. Well, it wasn't just pink eye.
No.
He has scarlet fever.
Yeah.
Which is actually a disease I thought was eradicated.
I did too.
The 1800s.
That's what I thought. I haven't heard of it. And so I went and I Googled this. You know, all of a sudden, I'm like, well, God, how bad is this? Is he going to be okay? He's going to be fine. But it's between the ages of 5 and 15 for kids that get
typically,
this.
Typically, yeah.
Williams is 31 years old.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy the kind of sickness that he's got. He had hand, mouth, and foot not very long ago, which typically you see for kids. Adults get it, but very rare.
Yeah.
Only 20,000 cases in the U.S. of this disease, and Williams is one of the 20,000.
One of the 20,000 this year.
That's
so I don't know if he gets a prize for that or not. But, scarlet fever. I'm 37 years old. I've never in my life heard of anyone that I know that had scarlet fever.
No. You hear about it in movies. Like, people used to die from scarlet fever back in the 1800s, but I thought it was gone and done away with.
Right. Well, I said that to my – like, I told my dad what it was, and he's like, I thought people got vaccines for that.
Yeah.
It seems like something that would – you know, you never hear anything about that. But I entered the quarantine zone, so hopefully I'm okay.
Why did you go into his house?
Dude, I had to. We wouldn't be able to do the podcast if I didn't go into his house.
I think that I actually, if I would have known that you had to go into his house, I would have just pushed it back to next week.
If Ashley's doing okay, though, Jared's probably going to be okay, too. But
here's the thing.
His mom and dad were there, so they're going
to
be okay.
I know. I've been talking to Mike and Renee. Here's the thing, guys. After this is over, we each go down. We drink a couple whiskeys. Whiskey kills all the bad germs in your body.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it keeps all the good germs. So let's have a couple whiskeys. We'll be good to go.
Do you actually like whiskey, by the way?
I drink it about every night, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just put a little whiskey, just an ice cube, so and I drink it before bed.
I drink beer. My mixed drink is gin and tonics. I love gin. I do not comprehend why people drink whiskey, scotch, bourbon, whatever. It tastes horrible to me.
So good.
Everyone's like, and I think when anybody says that, my immediate thought is they are faking it. There's no way they think it tastes good.
Well, I will invite you over to my house and I will show you my cabinets and you will see that I am not faking it.
Have you ever had like, so what's a really cheap whiskey? What would be something that's just, you know, $10 or $15 a bottle?
Hawkeye whiskey.
That's vodka.
No, they've got Hawkeye whiskey.
Do they?
They put in like the – that's like the well whiskey at most of the bars and Ames.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I did not know
My point is, I'm wondering what the difference is between something that's very, very cheap, and I had a client once that really liked it, and I bought him Johnny Walker Blue Label.
Oh, wow.
Which is like $150 a bottle.
Yeah.
And I never had it because I didn't want to taste it. But is there a significant difference between your cheap stuff and
that? If I'm going to buy the cheap stuff, I buy it to like mix it in and have like a whiskey 7.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to buy a $150 bottle of something, I'm not mixing anything in it other than a little bit of ice. Because I have to have it cold. Some people drink that stuff warm. That's when I think it's gross.
But everybody sips it, don't they?
Yeah, you don't hammer that. No, I can't take a shot of it. That's gross.
See, but that tells me that the stuff itself is horrible because you can't even do a full swig of it.
It just kind of relaxes me, and I don't feel quite as full as I do if I just sit and have a heavy beer. Because if I'm at home, a
light beer then, a Busch Light.
But if you have one beer at home before you go to bed, you don't even feel it. You're just essentially just saying, hey, I'm taking 120 calories. For no reason.
Yeah, that's true.
So I can have some whiskey. I feel it. It relaxes me, and I don't have that full feeling.
If you drink whiskey tonight, would it improve your flippy cup game?
I don't need any help.
You don't need any help?
I pretty much walk in there and I'm ready to go.
I hope so.
So who's in on this famous game tonight? You guys are Ted Flint.
Yeah, Ted Flint is obviously one of the headliners.
Is he gonna show up and play? And he's been talking a big game.
Isn't he gonna be on the Cyclone Fanatic radio show?
Is he?
That's what he told me.
You're the one doing the show.
Renee and Mike just told me you're the one doing the show.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, they said that I was hosting it with Adam and Ted Flint. I'm dead serious.
You guys are organized, man. Way to go.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, we got some stuff to figure out.
Is this all taking place at Benchwarmers?
Benchwarmers in Ankeny, yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah.
If anyone wants to come out and watch the famous Ted Flint do Flippy Cup.
It starts at 9:30 because I actually have basketball practice from 8 to 9. So can't get there till after that.
Hopefully that's not past Ted's bedtime. I'd believe it if it was.
Well, Ted's team is dropping like flies. See, I'm not even sure that Chris has scarlet fever. I think he is so nervous about being on this Flippy Cup on Ted Flint's losing team.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to get embarrassed by Jared and I. He is faking. He's going so far as to fake scarlet fever.
Who's on your team tonight?
Okay.
Actually, I just know Jared.
Yeah, it's the two of us. And then my roommate, Tyler. Mm-hmm. My other roommate, Davey. And my old roommate, Leif.
You call him Davey?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Why? Davey Crockett.
Well, he's from Texas. It's just, I don't know. Like, if you meet him, and it'll make sense.
Okay.
And,
all right, I'll reserve judgment.
Yeah, and then my friend Alex Crowell, he's a big Iowa State fan.
So these guys are mostly college age. Dudes.
Yeah, they're all.
So you should win, right?
Definitely we should win.
I hope
we're going to win. There's no questioning.
Where do you? It rotates, I guess. I was going to ask, where do you want me to be on the team here?
We'll
first,
have to
last.
Strategize. We'll strategize at the at Benchwarmers.
Yeah.
I wonder how many times you could try to flip your cup without landing it. Like, how many times can you fail, basically? Could you get to 10 without?
Until it's over.
Could I? Sure. Will I? No, absolutely. I'll be a one and done.
One and done?
Yeah, you can call me like Anthony Davis.
See, it's not even a drinking game. It's a skill game. You got to have steady hands. Like, if you were good, remember the game Operation, where you try to pick the things out without touching the sides? If you're good at that, then you'd be good at flipping.
Yeah, but you got to chug a beer. you know.
Yeah, but is it a beer? That was my question when you guys got here. It's not a full beer.
What is it, like a fifth of a beer? Or
it's just a good drink, you know.
Yeah.
A solid drink.
A solid chug.
I know on Ted's team, the only people I know for sure are Tom Hyde, Ted, and Tommy Birch.
Everybody else has been in
circulation.
I may have to come watch this tonight. I may have to grab a pizza or something and just watch it.
Maybe you can drive me home afterwards. That's what I'm worried about.
I'll drive you into my yard. I got a tent that you can sleep in.
I was planning on getting an Uber driver, but I'm scared of that now.
Why?
Holy crap.
Why?
Oh, yeah, that Uber driver in Michigan went around shooting a bunch of people.
She killed 6 people in a night. I used an Uber that day. I had a little car problem. Well, not car problem, just, getting it fixed. And, you know, it scares you a little bit when you're in there with a random person you don't know who it is.
Every Uber experience I've had has been very pleasant.
Mine too.
Do you guys sit in the front seat or the back?
I'm a front seat, man.
No, I feel awkward sitting in the front.
Yeah, I had to get in the back.
Oh, no, man. I just jump right in there. I see you guys don't mind if I sit in the front, do you? I like talking to the guys.
You can talk from the back.
Yeah, but I think it's more personable. I want them to just feel like I'm just, one of their buddies sitting there with them.
I always do. I always want to know the economics of it. So I'm talking. I'm like, how many people do you have to pick up in a day? How much money do you make? And frankly, it seems like the Uber drivers, the last time I took an Uber was probably in
Kansas City, maybe, or actually
we did one in Chicago. I like the different levels too. For anyone that's not Ubered before, there's like the Uber Basic, which is they can pick you up in anything, frankly. But then there's Uber Black, which we took in Chicago.
Uber
and
X.
That means the car literally has to be black. And then it has to be like either a Mercedes or there's a few different types. But
so this is
more leg room, more like leather seats, whatever. So we got into one because my wife is extremely car sick. So when we're in cabs or whatever and they're flying all over, not good. Not good at all. Have a bag ready, basically. But this one had more leg room. He had mints waiting in the back seat for us. It does cost more, but, hey, if your wife's going to puke on your lap, you pay a little extra money.
Yeah. So they had like a little bag there for her to throw up into.
Yeah. So she's pukey no matter what. Like she just car sick. Has always been car sick her whole life. Now she's pregnant. Wow. So add that element into it. And just the other day on Sunday, we're going to buy some stuff for my new office. And she looks at me and like she's not saying anything, but she's got a hand over her mouth and she's pointing like for me to pull over immediately. So I pull over just off the interstate exit and she pukes and that's just my life. Yeah. So, Jared, don't ever get a girl pregnant, dude. It's not pretty.
Wow.
Ever?
Hey, just know what it comes with, okay?
Okay.
Just know
enough.
What it comes with.
Do you kiss her afterwards?
Absolutely. It's a sign of affection.
Oh gosh.
Like, come here, puke mouth. Let's do this. So, it's all good. So hey, the baby that comes out is worth it, but the lead up, not so good.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Yeah.
Did Julie ever get sick?
No.
Like never.
Never. Never.
Not a single ounce of.
I think a couple of times she would get just a little nauseous, and then she would look at me, and immediately I had this calming presence. And she felt better.
She got more nauseous.
Yeah, good try. But no, she didn't. She had easy pregnancies for the most part. Never had too many complications or, never felt too bad. So, yeah. Never had the, where all of a sudden she was just starving and had to eat just terrible food.
I'm hoping you got the benefits of it, though.
What do you mean?
The young ears here don't know about these things, but typically speaking, a pregnant woman has a few extra nights where she wants some action, so to speak. It comes with the third. The hormones get a raging, man.
Jared, I don't know if you've noticed or not. This is a little different podcast.
We don't talk about this on the seniors.
Rob,
do I need to explain what the podcast is?
No, I listen to the podcast. I understand.
It's, anything goes here.
Yeah.
And, I was trying to avoid the word horny, but since you just weren't picking up what I was dropping down.
I knew what you were picking up. I was just trying not to go there.
That's
with
one
you.
Of the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And most women go through that phase.
I will not comment on how my wife.
We already know she doesn't listen to this. You can say anything you want.
Yeah, I could get back to her.
I'm not going to
tell her. I'm respectful.
I'm not going to tell her. So.
Are we going to talk about some basketball now? Are we going to get into that at all?
It depends if you want to frustrate me today or not.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I want to hear him rant a little bit. So,
it's ridiculous.
So Jared. I'll admit, I typically listen to the seniors podcast. I didn't listen to it at all. So if you could just rehash your general feelings and thoughts toward the West Virginia game for me, I want to hear what you have to say because you are a basketball mind.
Well, I mean, the first thing that stuck out to me was the rebounding, obviously.
Yeah.
It needs to get better. I mean, that's all there is to it. And it's at this point, it comes down to the guys deciding I'm going to be a better rebounder. I'm going to go get those rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that guy right now. They don't have that Dustin Hogue, the Melvin Edgem, that every single time down the floor, either they're going to get the rebound. If they don't, their guy is definitely not going to get it.
We're talking Dustin Hoge junior year, not senior year. He didn't rebound. Even,
well, senior year, he's got he was never going to give up an offensive rebound.
He averaged like 4 rebounds a game. He lower than Nader does this year. He was soft last year. Let's just call it what it was. He was soft last year.
He had to do different stuff.
Oh, jeez. He didn't have to. He chose to do different stuff.
If Hoge was soft, then what is McKay?
He wasn't soft his junior year. His senior year was soft.
This is why you're Jameel McKay on our team.
Yeah, I'm going to punch you right now.
Oh, man.
I'm going to punch
Them's
you.
Them's fighting words.
It is.
I don't understand. So, fine. Let's all agree that our rebounding sucks. And our rebounding is likely what's going to get us out of the NCAA tournament. Someone's going to bully us around on the boards and get a ton of second chance points and beat us. Okay, that's fine. You've identified the problem. But how do you get better? It's too late to say, like, we're just going to change who we are as a team. But our offense is good. We're scoring close to 90 points in a lot of these games, or over 90 points.
Our offense is fantastic.
So is it as simple as saying, like, guys, from now until the end of the season in practice, we're rebounding. We're just going to work on rebounding because the offense is fine. We don't need a lot of tweaking there because it's good. So why not work on what you suck at, which is rebounding?
I understand you can work on it and stuff, but at the same time, we have seniors. I mean, primarily seniors and a couple juniors. And they played basketball their whole life. If they don't know what it's like to turn around and put their butt into a guy by now and rebound, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing that's frustrating. There are certain games where George, he gets 7-8 rebounds, and he looks like he wants to. Mm-hmm. Last couple games, he's had no desire to get a rebound. Nader could do better rebounding. I think he averages 5. He should be a 7 or 8 rebound for this team. We need him to rebound 7 times a game. But I agree with you. I think part of it, though, is it's not just rebounding. It's when you allow dribble penetration with the ease that we do, the whole defense then is not situated. There's a lot of help, which then leaves guys in the back end. So even if a guy misses a layup or misses a shot, there's a guy that has nobody boxing him out there to get a rebound. So I think first and foremost for Iowa State to get better, they have to stop guys from getting in the lane. If they stop guys from getting inside the lane, I think they're rebounding. They're still not going to rebound to the level of other teams, but I don't think you're going to see this gap that you saw for the last couple games.
What's particularly frustrating about Iowa State is Iowa State, statistically speaking, I think is a good defensive team on the first shot. Like there's a percentage to that. But then how often do you see them, we make a stop, and then they get a rebound and pass it out to the wide-open guy, and he hits the three?
A lot.
Yeah, and it's demoralizing when that happens. And then the guys start to get down, and things go downhill from there. So I don't know that there's a solution. People say, well, we don't get a lot of rebounds because we're sending guys back. Well, don't send them back. Mm-hmm. Try to get rebounds. I mean, change something. If something's broken, I don't like the mentality of, well, that's just who we are. Well, who you are is going to get you out of the tournament in one game.
Right. And rebounding is one of those things that so much of it is mentality. It's not like shooting where if you get in the gym and shoot all the time, if you're doing it right, you're going to become a better shooter.
Yeah.
But if you're just in rebounding, you know, not going against anybody or anything like that, it has to be a thing where in your mind you say, I'm going to get every single rebound. Mm-hmm. And like a guy like Dennis Rodman, who hung his hat on rebounding, that's the comparison I made on Monday. He was a guy that was going to go out there and hustle his ass off.
He wasn't the biggest guy. He wasn't the tallest guy.
Right, but he was going to go out there and get every rebound. And he didn't care whether or not he was as skilled as everybody else or whether he was as tall as everybody else. And that's the way it is for guys like with Iowa State. And someone like Jameel he should get 10 rebounds every single game.
Yep.
There's no reason that he should not get 10 rebounds every game. As tall as he is and as athletic as he is, it's all up in between his ears.
Yeah.
100% of that, too.
Yeah.
Jameel at this point has one value to the team, and that's standing right next to the basket and playing defense. And that's it. I mean, offensively,
blocking a couple shots.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, defense at the basket basically is what he's doing. And I've said this, I'm on record, and like, I say things and it's like, oh, that's hyperbole, or, you know, you're just saying something to be outrageous about it. But in my lifetime, so I'm 37, there has not been a worse offensive big man in Iowa State history. Offensive big man. Defense, fine. That's another category. But when he gets the ball down low, 75% chance it's a missed shot, or he's throwing it out of bounds, or he's getting stolen.
That's a terrible take.
It's absolutely not.
Think of one better, or think of one worse.
A worse big man.
Offensive big man. Jameel McKay can do one thing offensively. Alley-oop dunks.
There are some Iowa State big men.
That's it.
That could not even have done that.
Okay, who?
Well, people killed him. He ended up being in the NBA, but while he was here, Justin Hamilton was not really an offensive go-to big man. You're putting me on the spot here, but there have been plenty of guys that have played meaningful minutes at Iowa State as big men that were absolutely, completely worthless on the offensive end.
Would you say starters? And Jameel McKay's a starter, whether he's been benched lately.
Starter, you know, it changes it a little bit. But I bet I could go back and find someone that was just as bad. Here's the thing. Jameel just – when Jameel doesn't know his role. If he knows his role, then we would never not be having this conversation as far as what he is offensively. If he stayed there behind the defense and waited for the alley-oops and put those dunks in and got offensive rebounds and putbacks, we would not be complaining about his offensive production. But the problem is when he gets the ball – 18 feet away from the hoop, faces a guy up and thinks he can go George Niang on him. He can't. It's just not. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Is that not coaching, though? If he sucks at that, then why is he out there in that position in the first place?
Well, I mean, sometimes players give a guy the ball just out of necessity. You know, you're stuck. Jameel comes up. You give him the ball. And you probably coach Jameel, hey, get the ball back to somebody else. But whether or not Jameel does, that's completely different.
Yeah.
You don't know. He could be coached that way. We don't know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If Jameel just realizes – there's nothing wrong with knowing your role. I mean, people make millions of dollars in the NBA by doing one thing really, really well. Mm-hmm. And if Jameel ever just figured it out, hey, if I just run the court up and down as fast, play good defense, rebound, block shots, he could be in the NBA.
Right.
He could be. Mm-hmm. He's got that kind of talent, but unfortunately, he just
– But the problem is to have that mentality, you have to be a team guy. And so far, he hasn't proven to be a team guy.
Yeah, well
– It's been about him.
Put Melvin Edgem's – you know,
oh gosh,
characteristics and his mindset into Jameel McKay's body, and he's probably an NBA lottery pick.
Kenneth Fareed. That's who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a Kenneth Fareed guy right there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, Jameel, to me, I think his attitude the last couple of games has been better. I know a couple of games ago he scored 0 points and fouled out and everyone was down on him, but I at least thought he didn't seem to have that pouty attitude that he had before. And I think that's step one. Now it's, okay, I'm back in the go – now – we got to get him back to where he was playing early on in the year and last year, because it's still there. It's not like it's gone from him. He can still put up 12 and 10 for us every game if we just get some energy out of him.
We're running out of time to figure it out.
Yeah, no, there's no question. You know what I find funny? And this is I'm not trying to kill fans here or anything, but I see a lot of people on Twitter and on Cyclone Fanatic trying to justify what the team's doing right now. And a lot of that is they go back and they say, hey, well, look at here are our stats now compared to here what our stats were last year and the year before. Well, you can't compare year to year and say, well, our numbers are exactly where they were last year. Well, we're supposed to be better than we were last year. Mm-hmm. You have seniors that were juniors, and we have juniors that were sophomores last year. We're more experienced. But what people need to do is they just need to change expectations. As soon as Naz Long went down, this team's expectations should have changed from Big 12 tournament or Big 12 champions to let's just go try to get a decent seed and make a run in the NCAA tournament, which we're still on track to do.
You have a 6- and 7-man rotation. That's going to hurt you. Eventually, it's going to hurt you. And we're seeing it into half, into games.
Yeah.
I think it hurts us a lot.
So, Jared, do you think – I don't fault Steve at all for this, but do you think he would do it different looking back now?
I definitely think he would.
I do too.
I think he would have played Simeon Carter a lot more early in the season.
Yep.
Because I think – well, especially with the way Jameel – you know, we're talking about buying into a role. This is something I said to C-Dub a while ago, and he shot me down quick. But what is it that says that if you put Simeon Carter out there for 5 minutes a game and you say, we're going to put you in for 2-minute stretches, go as hard as you possibly can for 2 minutes, and we'll take you out.
Yep.
And all you have to do is you have to rebound, block shots, and stand in the corner. Yep. And if they throw the lob to you, then dunk it.
Yep.
And that's it.
Because he's athletic. He's athletic big.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's so lost defensively that he can't even stand by the rim and try and block shots. Or
that's why
if
you
he's
play
just that overpowered.
That's why you play him in those non-conference games. You're going to win anyway.
Right.
Well, you know? Or here's the thing. You lose one that you shouldn't have lost. But the kid gets better. He gets more experience. And the same thing with Ashton Cook, because now you're sitting here. I watch West Virginia play. They play, what, 10, 11 guys against us?
Mm-hmm.
I would bet 4 of the guys that they played were not Big 12 caliber players at the time they played. But he doesn't care. He says, you go out there. You give me 10 to 15 minutes where you play as hard as you can. At the end of the game, the other team's going to be exhausted. I'll put my studs out there, and we'll run them into the ground at the end of the game. And that's exactly what they did. Why can't we do the same thing? Who cares if Jordan Ashton can't give us the production
it
of
just,
Matt Thomas?
I mean, what
Who cares?
What does it say about our team when it's like we'd rather go with the gassed guys on the floor and not put anyone else in? It's like, how bad are these guys? Or is it just a coaching thing? He's just not willing to risk. You know, in 2 minutes, only so much can go wrong in a basketball game. They might get 2 or 3 baskets.
Yeah.
But they're not going to get 20 baskets in that, you know. So literally only so much can go wrong. But your guys need more rest than they're getting. Well, so that's what I don't get, is why we're not at least trying.
And see, I don't blame Steve either, because when he came here, there's a lot of pressure, right? He's filling in for Fred Hoiberg. Taking over.
Fred's
for
not
Fred.
Coming back.
No, he's not coming back. Yeah. So he's taking over for Fred for a team that a lot of people thought was top 5, Final 4 caliber team. And so he looks at it and says, hey, these 7 guys right here are the kind of caliber player that we have that can get us there. These other three guys aren't. And we can do it with seven. Well, we don't have seven now. We have six. Mm-hmm. So at that point in time, I bet you if he looks back, he would have said, we're going to go from six to nine guys, and these other three guys are going to play 10 to 15 minutes a game or 5 to 10, whatever they're going to play. But I think he thought, they're not at the caliber, so I'm not even going to put them in because I have so much pressure on me to win right now with these guys. I don't want to risk it by playing Jordan Ashton. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him for that, but looking back, I bet you anything he would do that different.
So the question becomes, we've got the Big 12 tournament coming up and then the NCAA tournament. Yep. That's it? That's your season? Next year's next year? We can worry about that later. So what does Prohm have to do differently if, call it the Sweet 16, call it the Elite Eight, whatever. If Iowa State has a chance to do that,
yeah,
I don't think they do playing the way they are right now. So what is there a way that we can make that happen? What do we have to do differently other than saying we got to rebound better?
They've got to be a better – I mean, they just have to be better defensively.
Defensively,
that's what it comes down to. They can score – on anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody in the country. There's no team that can stop them offensively. It comes down to whether or not they can stay in front of somebody.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. And it's just digging your heels down and getting stops sometimes, just wanting a will to get a stop. They have players that could be pretty good defenders too. We saw Abdel Nader in the second half against Kansas completely lock them down. I mean, they could not get around him. Then you watch other games where Nader is flat-footed going out to guard a guy, and the guy will blow right by him.
Right,
yeah.
So for me, that's the most frustrating part as a fan is when you see one guy play at a level where you know he can. I mean, it's one thing if Matt Thomas's first 2 years, you just looked at him and said, Matt Thomas can't guard that guy. Yeah. I don't care what he does, he can't guard that guy. Right. Now he's improved to where he can, but I always felt bad for Matt. He was outmatched. Abdel Nader's not outmatched on defense. Deontay Burton's not outmatched. It's just a matter of knowing where to be and then playing hard enough to get the job done. So here's the thing, too. When you get in the NCAA tournament, we're in the hardest conference in America right now. Every night. I think they said KenPom right now, it's the second hardest conference in the last 12 years.
Seven of the 10 are going to the tournament?
Seven of the 10 are going to the tournament. We'll be battle-tested. And, there's going to be a lot of teams that we play that will not be at the caliber that we've been playing at the last 3 months. I mean, they're not going to be as good as, even Baylor or West Virginia. We'll play in the first two rounds. So I really still think Iowa State's going to have a run in the NCAA tournament.
So Monday night is the last home game. I'm curious where you guys think George ranks in Iowa State history. I think people are quick to look at people when they're asked a question like that, think about a pro career. You look at, Fizer was drafted here, or, Victor Alexander, or the Iowa State greats, where they were drafted. But that's kind of irrelevant to how good they were at Iowa State, if you look at that in a bubble. So I'm excited to be there. George is going to get a tremendous standing ovation or whatever from the crowd, because I think Iowa State fans love George.
Oh, yeah.
So is George, where is he in your guys' opinion? Is he a top five Iowa State player? Am I overstating that?
Well, I think there's a case for him to be a top five, and he might. It's so hard. I mean, I never watched Jeff Greer. If you asked me who the best player was in Iowa State history, I'd probably say Jeff Greer, just because that's what my dad always told me.
Yeah.
He always told me how good Jeff Greer was. Yeah. Probably like a lot of Iowa fans and Roy Marble. Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Or you can go back to Gary Thompson or whatever, it's like, but you have no, and you can't compare the eras. Either.
You can't, yeah. I mean, as far as players that I've watched, I would not put him ahead of Marcus Fizer. I would not put him ahead of Jamal Tinsley. And then he'd be right there for third. He'd be, up against anyone else, Dedrick Willoughby, Calvin Cato.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys.
And Fizer was there when I was in school. So, I was really tuned into that. And there was a stretch of games his junior year, right when his career was ending at Iowa State, where he was just totally dominant. Like, one of the best Big 12 players you would have ever seen.
Yeah.
And, we were beating everybody at that point. 32 wins that season.
Yep.
So, when it comes to a player, I think Fizer is probably the best player Iowa State has ever had.
He was a man amongst children in those games.
Yeah.
He was scoring, 25 a game for a stretch there for a while. I mean, he was
unreal. The last, six, rebound. Seven, eight games of his career at Iowa State, he was just a man on a mission.
Yeah.
It was awesome. The fact that we didn't win the national championship still bumps people out.
Because we
would have. We would have. If we had gotten past Michigan State, I think there's no question we would have done it. But, it is what it is. But, George is and George is valuable for a lot of other reasons. Just, we've seen him play in the age of social media.
Yeah.
So, you see what he said, and just, Iowa State fans have embraced him so much because of things like blowing kisses to the crowd at, University of Iowa and whatever. So, he's a cyclone through and through.
Yeah.
Not just a good player. And he's a great player. He is, but.
I will say this about George. He's the best four-year player in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, Pfizer was 3, Tinsley was 2, Willoughby was, what, 2, I want to say. Cato was 1.5 years. A lot of good Iowa State players we've had have been – they haven't been here for all 4 years. I mean, even Brackens was here for 3 years. So he's been – that. I think that's one reason why fans love him so much. And same with Hoiberg. You saw him come in as recruits.
Yeah.
So you kind of have that relationship with them for about a year or so before they actually show up at Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then they're all 4 years, and you get to just watch their entire growth. And Iowa State fans are so loyal. You know what I mean? They love kind of – they almost feel like they're part of the family, like George part of the family. So
it'll be
I'm sure there'll be some maybe some teary eyes in Hilton Coliseum on Monday.
Oh, I guarantee it. My wife will be one of them.
Will she?
She'll see stuff like that, and then I'll look at her, and she's like, tears are streaming down her face. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just, you know, he put in all this hard work. You know, I'm just so proud of his effort.
How is she so nice and you're such a prick?
I don't know,
dude. It's unbelievable.
I don't know. You know, it's like, I can see with, you know, I respect what George has done. I'm not going to be, sobbing, but I could, you know, I think it'll be emotional for a lot of people up there. You know, saying goodbye to someone we like.
He's probably my, I could say he's my favorite. Him, I love Jared Holman too. Jared, just the way he played, those two would probably be just guys that I almost related to a little bit better. But I would not say I don't even know if I'd say a top five all time. If you really go back and look through the whole time of Iowa State, what do you think, Jared?
I don't know. I mean, he's probably going to have a special place, like, in my heart just because of being – when I was in school and being able to cover him as closely as I was. He was the first Iowa State basketball player I really ever covered.
Yeah.
So, like, that's – he'll just be a guy that will always have a special place for me. But then I can't really say whether he's one of the best because, honestly, I didn't follow Iowa State like that back in
– Barry Stevens in 2000,
you know? Like, I mean, I remember watching Pfizer, but at the same time, I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to really say too much because my, like, wealth of Iowa State knowledge comes in the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
So George is my favorite for me by far.
Speaking of old players, you say which makes me feel old because you said you're 6 when Pfizer was playing. But is there an archive to go watch old games, old Iowa State games? Is it?
I'm sure there might be on Cyclones TV.
Cyclones TV's got some, and I think I don't know if they keep them up or if they rotate them. I'm not sure what they do for that.
For anybody who hasn't watched Pfizer, I mean, the especially the regular season towards the end, those would be games worth watching.
Their game against Michigan State, I know for a fact, is on YouTube.
Okay,
so
why would you ever want to go watch that?
I watched part of it. I was watching old college basketball games.
That was horrible, dude. I remember that. I was watching that in a fraternity at Iowa State. And my buddy was throwing stuff against the wall. He was super ticked.
I was watching the hotel. I think we were down in Kansas City because the girls were playing in the Sweet 16 down there later on. We tried to get tickets up to Auburn Hills, but since it was a home game for Michigan State, we couldn't get any tickets. So we went down and supported the girls. And I remember I couldn't even enjoy the girls' game because I was so pissed off about the guys' game.
Yeah,
the win over UCLA is also on YouTube.
They kicked the crap out of UCLA that game.
So
that was in was that Minnesota where they played that?
Uh-huh. Minneapolis.
Yep.
Pretty sure on that, yeah. I was at the couple years before that when we lost to UCLA down in San Antonio. Cameron Dollar floater over Calvin Cato.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tough one. Iowa State was up 16 points in the second half, Jared.
Was that right after they won the national championship?
That was my first kick to the nuts.
if only we had nut cups.
Yeah. I don't even know why I go to games, Iowa State games anymore. I mean, the history of games that I've been to for Iowa State and losses is absolutely heartbreaking. I was at the Alabama game when we beat the crap out of them all game, and then Tony Elk missed that field goal right over there. I was right behind the goalpost. I was at the Aaron Kraft game.
You're like the Iowa State Forrest Gump, except bad things. It's that bad thing.
Well,
good things.
So in a relationship, sometimes you have the sadist and then the masochist. And the masochist, I believe, is the one that likes pain. That's what you are.
Yeah.
You can't stay away from it, you know?
No. I called up my wife when we were leaving Dayton. I said, why do I do this? I have no idea why I go to these games anymore. It's so hard. It's so ridiculous. I would rather just be at home.
Were you at Dayton? Was that the loss against Ohio State?
Ohio State, Aaron Kraft.
You were there?
Where the ref just hosed us.
Yeah, what was
kind of like the West Virginia game, I would say.
What was the deal with that? I remember getting hosed, but what was the specific? What happened in that one?
We were up by 2 or so. Clyburn took it in, got fouled, made it clear block. Aaron Kraft came in late. Not only that, but he was inside the circle.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
They called a charge. That was back when Fred was showing emotion on the sidelines too. He was not very happy
before he got robotic out there.
Last year I never saw that emotion as much from him as it used to.
Did you see that report that he's been cussing at practice for
the
Bulls?
Good.
Yeah, Taj Gibson came out and said he's been cursing players out. And someone, I think it was Keith Murphy or someone on Twitter said, I don't know who it was. Somebody said, I'd have to actually see that.
To believe it.
To believe it. It's hard to think Fred's cursing anybody out.
When I used to sit down on the floor my first year working for Cyclone Fanatic, I promise you that Fred curses. Yeah.
From time to time. He just does it quietly in a mild manner.
He does it such an endearing.
It wasn't very quiet when I heard it.
An endearing way.
Prome is very mellow, too. I mean, he doesn't do a whole lot.
A guy I would believe wouldn't curse.
No. He could have used a technical in that West Virginia game.
I don't trust anyone that doesn't drink beer. That's just my theory.
How much of the rebounding was – and our guys, it's their fault. But early in the game, I thought we just got pushed in the back, like six rebounds in a row where they just pushed us. And then it felt like after that we just kind of stopped. But if the refs call that game, is it different? If they start
Definitely.
I thought the refereeing was horrendous in that game.
That's why West Virginia won't make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. They won't ever make it past the Sweet 16, in my opinion.
Well, no, you say that, but that's how Tom Izzo's teams play, and they always go to the Final Four. Tom Izzo's teams play – they play football.
They do not play the exact same way, though.
It's just bully grab
you. Tom Izzo is brilliant, though.
Tom Izzo's a lot of that cheap grabbing stuff that they just don't call in the NCAA tournaments.
Have you guys heard about Denz Gazi?
Yeah, I've heard about this. Because you and Rob were tweeting about it, and I looked it up. Yeah.
It's real.
It's not real.
It is real.
What is it?
Well, Iowa should thank them for getting them in the NCAA tournament then for that, because
– What's the deal?
There's a rumor floating around that when Denzel Valentine got hurt, he wasn't actually hurt, and Izzo and him faked it so that they wouldn't peak at the wrong time, and they would lose some games in January.
You do realize the guy was just tweeting this as a joke, right?
No, he's dead serious.
That's quite the strategy.
Where is he dead serious? I just read his tweets, and his tweets made it look like it was this big joke. And then Izzo put him in a headlock the other day, right? And just jokingly was like
– He didn't tell him it was wrong, did he?
Oh, my gosh. You're a conspiracy theorist kind of guy.
If that's true, that's quite the strategy.
It's real.
Did
Fran McCaffrey slip him some hundreds to give Iowa a couple top 25 RPI wins or what?
It's the number two search on Google, Denzel Valentine injury conspiracy.
the number two search for you on Google.
What was the supposed injury?
He had arthroscopic knee surgery, and he would be out indefinitely. Mm. So he could come back sooner. He could come back slowly.
When Izzo needed him back.
Yes.
You're coming back. Do you see a player agreeing to that, though? You know, it's like, hey, we're going to fake an injury with you. And he's like, yep, cool, coach. I don't want to play.
I worked hard all offseason to sit out for like six games.
He sat out four games.
Four games.
He's still going to be the National Player of the Year. He's still going to be an NBA lottery pick. And you know what? He's still going to be making millions of dollars next year. And you're still going to be sitting right here doing this podcast.
You're acting like I'm bad-mouthing Denzel Valentine.
You are.
No one's bad-mouthed Denzel Valentine here.
I think the most shocking thing he said was that he's going to be National Player of the Year.
He is.
It's him or Buddy. It's 50-50 year at this
point. But I think it's Buddy.
It's probably Buddy because he's been doing it all year, but Valentine's up there.
What happened to Simmons? He just fell that far off? I mean, everyone's talking about
him. Horrible. Gosh. Horrible. Worst coach in the country?
Man, I'm going to be shocked if there's not NCAA violations somewhere around there.
So, I'm a huge Ben Simmons fan. The skill set, love everything about him. I watched that last game against Arkansas, the whole thing. He literally jogs up and down the court.
Yeah.
Jogs, and he's fast enough. He should be the first one up and down the court.
He's mailing it in.
He's
waiting on a paycheck that is coming shortly.
You see people.
That's what it is. You're on a stinky team. You're not going anywhere. Are you really going to bust your butt? I mean, you would hope a player would do that.
Here's the thing, though. They are stinky, but if he actually got the ball ISO and attacked all game, that team should have 23 wins right now. Instead, they have, like, what, 15, 16?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, they've lost some
games. They're not going to make the tournament.
No, they've lost some games to teams that if I named them, you wouldn't even have ever heard of them. You didn't even know they had basketball programs. I don't know. He's not the problem with that team. I think the coach is the problem, but he is a problem because he doesn't bust it like he should.
We need to talk about our friends at Performance Concrete Polishing.
There you go. Let's work on the transition a little bit. I got killed for that last week by Mark.
Well, I don't know. We're 7 minutes past. You told me we needed to do it because you guys just kept talking.
How do you go from talking basketball to talking concrete? It's a little tough, you know?
Well, because right now you're saying we need to get better even though it's late, so we need to polish this turd into something beautiful.
We do.
Which is what you can do at Performance Concrete.
Yeah, definitely. They make boring and ugly concrete surfaces attractive. Any residential, commercial, or manufacturing floor can look spectacular, even exterior surfaces. They offer many alternative state-of-the-art services to accomplish this goal. The floors are colorful, shiny, durable, and easy to clean. If you can dream it, they can create it. Check them out at their showroom in Urbandale, 11220 Aurora Ave, or you can give them a call at 515-202-6706, or check them out online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com. My mom and dad are renovating their house in Clarinda. Do you think they can help people out in Clarendon?
I bet you could. I bet you make a special appearance.
I can chime in on this too, you know, because when it comes to concrete in a home, concrete's boring. Let's face it, boring. But patios, areas around fire pits, garages, like garage floors, that stuff helps, man. When you're going to sell a house, if that stuff's been done, people like it. So
I
think you can add some value to your home.
I talked to McKinley last week. I'm going to have him come out and give me a look at my garage.
Little epoxy flooring type situation happening
No,
out there?
No, he doesn't do epoxy. Yeah. It's that nice polish, easier to clean than epoxy. Epoxy, yeah. I think, chips a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm not an epoxy expert, unfortunately.
So I'm pretty sure I'm going to put that Iowa State logo right in the middle of my garage.
Really?
How sweet will that be?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That could look okay.
I think it'd be sharp. Maybe even the walking Cy.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, walking definitely. Cy right in the middle. That'd be sharp.
Except you'd be driving right over it with your car.
Maybe I'd put it like right in the middle between the second, the third car, you know, put it right there.
Those ideas are always great until you go to sell and then a Hawkeye fan wants to buy the house. I was just showing a house today, by the way, to somebody, and I didn't know their affiliation, but they come up from the basement and like, love it, and I think they're actually going to buy it. But it's like, first thing we got to do is get rid of that Cyclone logo, because there was a Cyclone logo in the house. And, you know, I want to be like, screw you, buddy. But instead I'm like, yeah, we could do that, sure. So he didn't say he'd replace it with a Hawk, so I'm not sure. Maybe he's just
so
not.
You sell out for your business. You sell out the clones for your business.
I got to help the clients, man. Jeez. Got to help the clients. It's what I do. So it's, you know, hey, it's all good. It's all good.
So, yeah, Performance Concrete Polishing. Check them out in Urbandale, 515-202-6706, www.performanceconcretepolishing.com.
Well done, buddy.
They are our sponsors over on the seniors, too, so I know my stuff with Performance Concrete Polishing.
Yeah. Booyah!
You know, you're slowly growing up in front of our very eyes.
Wow, thank you.
You'll be owning a house here, you know, in a couple of years, and, you know.
Greg, I need you to work on.
Especially when you and your girlfriend, you know, you take that next step in the relationship.
We need to get to the point, Gray, where we've got we need like a Twin Peaks sponsorship or something where they come in and bring their wings and their food and their, you know.
Why Twin Peaks?
I just randomly thought of a restaurant. I don't know why.
I want barbecues.
We already have Thunderhead. We can just have Thunderhead bring us over wings.
Are you aware of the attire that they wear at Thunderhead versus Twin Peaks?
No, I'm not. Can you explain it to me?
You've never been to Twin Peaks, huh?
No, I love
Twin. Twin Peaks is the updated Hooters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. So they wear. What do they wear? They wear little, you know, short shorts and tank tops, and, you know, it's tasteful.
It's tasteful.
Yeah. Do you remember we went to the Tilted Kilt out in Vegas? I'm probably getting you in trouble. It was a restaurant.
No, that was your birthday. I did not go. Remember that?
You showed up eventually.
No, I did.
Yes, you did.
No, I never went to the Tilted Kilt. Remember, you got pissed at me, but I never showed up. I was watching the Eagles-Cowboys game, and I never showed up.
You're such a jerk. But anyway, Tilted Kilt, Twin Peaks, Hooters, all the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
What's your daughter's name again?
Hollis.
Hollis, how would you feel if Hollis was working at Twin Peaks in 15 to 17 years?
Well, it would depend. If she was paying her way through school and, you know, being appropriate, I'd probably be okay.
You're cool with that. Okay. I was just wondering. Yeah.
They're not naked. They're wearing clothes.
Yeah.
It's just a little, you know, less clothes.
I'm just
than
waiting
other,
for you to drop a Williams daddy likes right now comment on us.
No, see, Williams is—he's a gross pervert.
He is.
I'm more of a distinguished type, you know.
I can't believe you just landed on C-Dub while he's apparently on his deathbed.
Scarlet
Fever.
Have you ever listened to C-Dub and Bloom do a podcast?
I do the radio show with them every week.
They rip on me every time. I have no problem.
That is not true.
Calling him a piece of
crap. I have a feeling that Daddy does not like Scarlet Fever right now.
No.
It sounds like he is down for the count.
Yeah, not good. He still thinks he might work the game Saturday.
No, he's not. I took his credential when
I left.
So
good. I told, yeah. That's good. Good job by you.
Well, his mom was like, he thinks he's going to be up this week, but he is not doing anything. This is on you guys.
I told him I'd punch him in the face if I saw him outside of his house before next Monday. So
yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, but.
No, I would.
Have you ever been that sick when you're down for like a week?
No, I mean, I've had like a surgery before where I've been down for a while, but not like sick where I've been down a week now.
Yeah, just no energy, can't do anything.
Yeah.
No, that's horrible. It's not a good way to go through life. Get better, Chris. Will he even listen to this? I don't, you know.
Oh, he'll listen for sure.
I'm not sure he's even watched the game.
He has not watched the game.
No.
He has not watched Daytona 500.
He must not have any
He hasn't watched
energy.
The Daytona 500
has
yet?
Not watched
oh, my gosh.
So, Mike, his dad is up there now, and I think now that the fever is finally gone, I think they're going to try to watch it tonight.
Oh, okay.
Is what I believe. But he hasn't got out of bed besides he got to the doctor in the last, like, 4 days. So
well, he talked to me and Rob on Tuesday when we were at his house.
Did you actually see him today?
I did see him. Not today. No, not today. I think he was in bed when I was there.
I wonder how the pink guy's coming along, too. You know,
hopefully the pink guy's been resolved. That poor bastard. That would be pretty awful.
Unbelievable.
I'm telling you, dude, he's clearly not washing his hands after a diaper change. He's doing something, you know. I have children. I've changed a lot of diapers. I've never had pink eye.
I never have either. Well, I mean, I had pink eye, I think, when I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
But not since then.
I don't know. I feel bad for the dude. Get better, buddy, if you're listening.
Oh, poor C-Dub.
Where do we go from there?
I don't know. I don't even know where to go from there. Because now I feel like we're on like a depressing note. We need to pick this back up.
Let's talk about
we're done.
Kansas State. How does the Cyclones finish up this season with the last three games going into the Big 12 tournament? Do they win both home games? No problem.
Yeah, they finished 2-1. I think Kansas handled us down there, you know. But 2-1, and then I think we'll do. I'd like to see us win two games in the Big 12 tournament. I don't see us winning it for the third year in a row. That'd be awesome if we did, but I don't see that happening.
Is there a point because of the lack of depth where you say it might not be the best thing for Iowa State to even go to the championship game?
No.
You don't agree with that?
No.
You say win it?
Yeah, if they win, they're going to get a better seed.
Well, you know, seeding is great and all.
Until you face
what is it?
Yeah, but then you get a better situation where you might end up playing in St. Louis.
Yeah. I understand that. I mean, to me, 3 through 5 is a really huge difference in today's college basketball. And that's really – if Iowa State wins it, they're a 3 seed. If they don't, they're probably locked into a 5 or pretty close to it right now.
Yeah.
Worst case is 6.
I mean, it depends on matchups. If you get matched up with Belmont in the 5-12 game, Ooh. Then I'm not going to say that was very
that's
good.
That's not horrible, though, because 5-12 means if they win, they get 5-4 next, right?
Yep.
4 or 13. Could be to 4.
Like I said, though, if you get matched up with Belmont in the 5-12, I'm not going to be feeling very confident.
Belmont, they get after the boards?
Belmont's good, dude. They've been in the NCAA tournament way too many times to not win a game. That's the way I've said what I'm saying. I think this might be the year they get one.
So they're kind of like your Nebraska.
No. They haven't been in the NCAA tournament enough times to say that they need to win one eventually.
How many games have they won?
I don't want to talk about this.
I just wonder how many games Nebraska's won in the NCAA tournament. It's a fair question.
Zero.
Okay.
They've never won?
No.
All those years with Danny Nee at the helm, they didn't win?
No, they were a 2 seed 1 year and they got – or like Piotrowski. A 3 seed or something and got beat 1 year.
When that was
Tyronn Lue. One of the great basketball minds in our country right now.
Lue and Eric Piotrowski was their 3-point shooter.
One of the great basketball minds. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's young, dude. You gotta forgive him.
I was being sarcastic. Are you serious?
When Tyronn Lue got the job from David Blatt, he's like, it's about time. He's paid his dues. I'm like, he's been assistant coach for like 2 years, 2 or 3 years.
I never said that. You're making that
up.
That's
exactly how this conversation
went. You just completely lied to everybody.
How long do you got to pay dues for, man? You know, 2 years, that's plenty of dues.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
In the meantime, he was the highest paid assistant coach in NBA.
This is so typical of his generation, dude.
Yeah, I just feel like everybody should be handed to
him. 2 years, where's my job, man?
It's just like Luke Walton, he shouldn't get an NBA job. Now, even though that this team just won 30 games in a row,
he's been trying to get on the Fawcast now for like a year. He feels like he should just automatically just
lying.
Like he should be called up to the big leagues without paying his dues. You know?
He's like going from like
I've worked here longer than you have.
You haven't.
He's trying to skip AA and AAA and go right to the majors.
That's a terrible take.
When did you get to? When did you start working at Cyclone?
When I was here, Van Winkle was our intern. So you yeah.
Have you ever used that at home? By the way, have you ever told Julie that she just had a terrible take? Because you say that all the time.
Daily.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, she'll be like, we really need to buy patio furniture. And you're like, that's a horrible take.
Horrible take. Come back with something better than that, babe.
You say that all the time, dude. All the time.
Well, here's my take on the Clones finishing up. 3-0. They're going down to the fog. I said they're going to go 4-1 the rest of the way. So they lost to West Virginia, which makes me sick because I don't think West Virginia is a team that Iowa State should ever lose to, but they just wear us out.
Yeah.
That's a rant for another day. But anyway. I like how the team matches up when they know they're playing a Kansas or an Oklahoma. They should have beat Oklahoma down there, kind of let that one go. Kansas won't be playing for anything. They'll already have that wrapped up. We'll go down. We'll win.
Yeah.
We're finishing 3-0.
But here's the reason why not, I think.
Because you're negative.
Well, fine, whatever. But is that or is that not Kansas' senior day?
And it would be their celebration day.
Perry Ellis has had 8 senior days. What is
you
one
can't,
more
senior day? You can't overlook that. It's tough to win.
Who else is a senior on that team besides him?
Frank Mason is one, isn't he?
Is Mason a senior?
They're younger than that.
Graham's not a senior, I don't think.
No, I don't think Seldon's a junior. But he's probably going to leave, so.
Is he?
I would think he would.
Yeah, is he a pro? He's got the body of a pro, but I don't know if he's a pro.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are like that, though.
I know.
I haven't been following Kansas all that closely this year. What happened to, what's his name, that we were going to get?
Cheek Diallo. He didn't play last game.
What's the deal? Just not as good as people thought he was?
No, I think he's got all the skills in the world. Well, Bill Self typically just doesn't like to play freshmen a whole lot. When he does, even he always seems to have the
– Which is why I don't understand why they keep going there.
I don't either. Even like Andrew Wiggins, he was good. But Andrew Wiggins was so much more talented than everyone else. I think if he had gone to any other school and they would have just given him the keys, he would have had an even better freshman campaign.
There are five national championships or whatever they have down there. That helps. Yeah. That's part of the reason.
It does.
And they built or are building some ridiculous new dorm down there.
They just finished it.
Just for them.
It's just for them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, well, not just – I think it's – sports.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the basketball.
No, it is just basketball.
It is.
Yeah. Or it's got a basketball gym in it.
Men's and women's?
I don't know if it's – I actually think it – yeah, I think it's
– If we would have had this last year, Bryce John Jones, think how good he would have been. He could have played his music as loud as he wanted.
Yeah.
Got up and got shit on hoops at 4 in the morning.
Bryce. Of all guys, too, to get an NBA contract, a three-year contract. It's like that guy, he didn't even play in the second half in the NCAA tournament.
Scored 0 points against UAB. 0 points.
I'm getting my first FOG experience next Saturday.
Are you going to go?
I am. Me and Rob Gray. We'll be there.
I'm hopeful that I might be able to go.
Really? How far of a drive is Lawrence?
About 4.5.
I would consider that. Yeah. I would consider going. Might have to get on StubHub, see if there's any good tickets.
Yeah. There.
You know, I'm not like the intern. I can't get press credentials.
I've been down there. When Macklemore banked in that three against us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, another moment that you were there, the Forrest Gump of bad at Iowa State moment.
Yeah.
You do need it.
My resume is not good. I'm telling you that right now. It's not a good resume.
Yeah, you should probably just stay away.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to go down anyway.
Why don't you save your shekels and come down to the Big 12?
Here's the funny thing about Big 12. I've been to three of them. We've never lost.
Well, then get your butt down there.
So
We've never lost when I was there either. I've been there once.
Plus, we got to record a podcast down there. So
I'll probably go down. We'll see.
Probably. Thanks for your commitment to the podcast. I appreciate it.
And if we do
it,
we're going to be doing another meetup, right? Another get-together?
Another get-together.
Have some beers.
That was fun.
That was fun. We had a good time.
Last time. I think we should definitely do that.
A couple people talked me into taking shots, which –
That was a little tough, wasn't it?
I hope you're ready for that tonight.
We're not doing shots.
I don't know what you're talking about. Have you ever played Flippy Cup before?
Yeah, you drink beer in it, right?
Yeah, but what do you get ready with?
I don't know. Dude, I'm 30. I
don't care. You're hanging out with the college guys tonight.
Are there stakes to this little thing tonight? Are you
bragging rights?
Oh, just bragging rights.
Yeah.
All right.
So after I dominate Ted Flint and his weak, soft crew, I will be talking smack for probably years.
A year, yeah.
No, multiple, yeah.
So how many rounds do you play?
13. First one was 7 rounds. It'll probably be. I'll bring a broom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And 7 rounds are just a round is everyone doing one,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I got it.
So the max would be 13.
I follow you. Are you going to follow this up with beer pong? Is that going to be next?
I'm actually a little bit embarrassed that I'm partaking in this with you, but why? You know me, I like a good competition and I like to talk smack, so I know. I'm in on that.
That's why I got you on the team. Yeah. I remember right away you were starting to talk trash, so I was like, I need this guy on my squad.
Was Williams going to do it?
He was going to be on Ted Flint's team.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said this right up Chris's alley.
If you're from
Clarinda, you got to do these games.
Chris would have been terrible at this game because he's got – no stamina. 4 beers, and he's done. That maybe not even that. 2.5.
That's surprising, as much beer as he
drinks. Yeah, and so, you know, you get up to rounds 8 or 9, he couldn't even stand, let alone flip a cup. So I think it's probably good that he has this illness right now.
I don't know how many times C-Dub has said he's going to come out and drink with us. I think I've drank with him once.
Yeah.
Still. He's always busy.
Gee, are you saying that Chris Williams talks a big game? Like he promises he's going to do things like eat hot dogs or
shoot threes.
Shoot threes or whatever it
go
might be.
Go to Clarinda, down to the Shidley D with everyone.
We are going to Clarinda. Haven't you heard about this?
Yeah, for your graduation party. Yeah, but we've been trying to get down there for what, like 2 years now?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And he talks a big game.
Just go. Go to Clarinda. Stay in the Super 8.
No, I'd stay
You could probably stay with Mike.
I would stay with Mike and Renee. I've slept in their basement.
You could probably stay at my house.
Lovely place.
I'm going to stay on the floor of the Shittily D. I'm going to close down the Shittily D. That's what I'm going to do.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think the IndyClear is better. Hot take.
Well, everything in the world is better than the Shittily D. The Shittily D is nothing. Literally, you...
Everything in the world. Everything in the world is better than Shittily D. You ever been to Newmarket? No. You've never been to Newmarket.
That's a horrible take, Greg.
We're going to go to Shenandoah. Or not Shenandoah. Shamba. Or Newmarket. And go to the bar there.
Shidley D has got like a TV from 1980.
Shidley D's in a
When's the last time you went?
It's 2.5 years
it's
ago.
It's in a Morton building.
They're probably updated.
I doubt it.
Is it not like in a Morton building?
It is. Yeah, definitely in a Morton building.
There's nothing in there. There's not even floors. There's dirt on the inside of there.
And it's that is a lie.
Do you pee in a bucket
yeah,
in the corner?
There's not even toilets.
Where's your – it's the outhouse out back. Get going. I'm excited to actually maybe go at some point. We're going to go to Chitterly D.
When's your graduation party?
May.
May what? You got to give me a
I want to say the 21st, but my mom and dad are going to listen to this, and it's probably wrong. So.
Your mom and dad listen?
Yeah, they always listen. Nice.
Are they proud of you?
I like to think so.
Yeah. Who do you get your taste in clothes from?
Taste in clothes?
Well, your shoes.
Actually, none of them.
Your shoes. Like, when you buy
my
your
grandpa
shoes.
Hated what I used to wear.
Yeah.
He always, yeah. He's much
you.
Like you.
Okay.
You're like a grandpa.
Oh.
Thank you.
I agree. 30-year-old grandpa.
He wears
What's wrong with these ones? You approved all my shoes I got on Christmas.
Yeah, those aren't bad. Yeah, those are Dees.
Dees.
They're better than those flower shoes you wore, those hideous.
Stop.
So
flower shoes.
Have you ever seen these, Charter? He has, like, pink.
They're not pink, dude.
There's pink in the shoes.
There's pink in them, but that's the flowers. They're like, cool. They're
what are they like?
Cool people think they're cool.
Are they boat shoes?
No, they're Nike shoes.
They're like
shoes
Nike tennis shoes.
Okay.
With flowers all over them. Like girly
I'll pull up a
flowers.
Picture.
It is horrible.
See, I'm not going to bust his balls too much on this because I've got some interesting shoes that
you
I
do,
wear
but
too.
But yours are classy. Like yeah. They're classy, colorful blue polo shoes.
Yeah,
his are pink with flowers and.
Yeah, those are a little.
Those
are
hideous,
a little out there.
Yeah,
they're a little out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't rock those, but, you know.
Here's the thing.
When you wear size 16, you take what you can get, Adam.
I agree with that. My brother has 16, too, and that's what he always tells me. But here's the thing. When was the last time you wore those shoes?
It's
been a while, hasn't
it? A couple
it?
Weeks ago, probably.
Well, you started wearing them less than you used to wear them.
Because people started
making. Because I got new ones.
Yeah. People started making fun of them.
No, but I got new ones.
When you were wearing those, you didn't have a girlfriend. You got a girlfriend now. It's not a coincidence, Jared. I'm telling you right now.
Stop yourself.
No girl respects a man wearing those. Just telling you right now.
He's not denying it. It's probably true.
So I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say.
When I met your girlfriend.
I'm sorry I don't wear wooden shoes like you do.
Your girlfriend is
or New Balances.
I wish. Man.
New Balances.
All white Avias from Walmart.
What does Joe Montana try to sell or those?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. The Skechers? Or no. What are those like ones
oh,
that
the
like,
one,
rock?
Yeah.
I wear Fry boots so you guys can both step off.
Wow.
That's a real shoe.
I got Banana Republic.
And it's got a wooden heel on it too.
Shoes on.
These are like clogs.
Yeah.
You can hear it on the floor.
This
powerful
is, this
stuff.
Is a great conversation.
Yeah, right definitely.
you need to bring us in a little bit. You need to get control of this podcast.
Bring us in where? I thought that this is what we did.
He probably needs to bring us in towards the end.
Yeah.
That he needs to do.
All right. You got anything else to add, Adam?
Chris would have ended 20 minutes ago.
Clones so. By 16 on Saturday.
What do you say?
Against K-State?
K-State. They won by 13 down there.
Nah, we couldn't beat TCU. By that much, so we'll win, but by less than 10.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'd say 15.
15?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like K-State very much.
I just don't see that happening.
They might be the worst offensive team in the conference. Their offense is pretty horrific.
Yeah, I wouldn't
which means
argue
which
that.
Which means they'll score 90 against us.
But we don't seem to live up to what we should either. So, I don't know. We couldn't cover against TCU. What makes you think we're going to score that much against K-State?
Fair enough.
K-State's better than TCU. There you go. My hot take.
I like Clones by 16. I'm sticking with my comment.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening, dudes. Have a good weekend.
Peace.